In 1 John 5, it says, the whole world lies in the wicked one.
Yes.
And we have the throne of the kingdom and the strength, yes, not just the authority, which is the throne, but also the power of the kingdom. And both of those, these are referring to the enemy himself. God is going to overthrow and destroy.
Would you just explain? Everyone by the sword of his own brother. Chapter 12, verse 22. And the horses and the riders shall come down, everyone by the sword of his brother. They fight each other.
Yes, civil strife.
Kill each other.
In Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, it says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. It's talking about Jesus on the cross. The earth was shaken when he died on the cross. It was a great earthquake. The 3 hours before he died or gave up his ghost, the sun was darkened, and there was darkness all over the earth. And it says here that he spoiled principalities and powers. That's talking about the kingdoms of this world, Satan. He made a show of them openly. That's like a public show. And this word triumphing over them, he meant he led them in triumph. You know, to Satan and his and the evil men who crucified our Lord, they felt they had the victory because they killed Jesus on the cross. But he triumphed over death. He triumphed over the Adam. He triumphed over death. And he led them in victory. They were powerless. It says spoiled here. It's the word for power. They were powerless to do anything to prevent God's plan of salvation. And when Jesus died on the cross, he purchased our salvation. He has created a new creation, which is the church. And we're going forward in that new creation. The old creation was destroyed, and he gained victory over the first creation.
Just a word about the world to come, because all of this is looking forward to the world to come. Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians 1 verse 9. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. The mystery of his will is the world to come. According to his good pleasure, God the Father's good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in a dispensation of the fullness of times, he, God the Father, may head up in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. That's called the world to come. Look at verse 20. Which he, which God the Father wrought in Christ when he raised him from, not from the dead, but from among the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but the world to come. How wonderful, the world to come, when we will live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. So, he's looking forward to the world to come, so are we. What an age that's going to be.
And yet there is something that is very warming to the heart.
Yes.
We're speaking about this great person, the Lord Jesus, that should rule supreme. But how wonderful that as the Spirit of God is talking to him, he says in verse 23, Zerubbabel, my servant. And I'm wondering if we can say a little bit about the servanthood of Christ. Because it is a scene where he would reign supreme. But he will stay ever a servant. You know what? Even when you go to the book of Psalms and the Lord is speaking as the king, but yet he is the dependent king upon the blessed God, who still receives instruction, who still receives information and direction and guidance of what needs to be done. So I'm wondering just it has this character that he will reign supreme on the throne, we said in the beginning, as king and priest, but also has this nice, beautiful characteristic that the servanthood of Christ will display itself, even in that coming scene, and also throughout all the endless ages of eternity, because he will ever remain one that will desire to serve. So I'm just wondering if we can touch a little bit about the servanthood of Christ, because it's going to bring the same conclusion, that he is great and brings forth his greatness as well.
Well, he's performing the service of God even presently as the minister of the sanctuary. He performs the service of God and we can join with him. So how wonderful that is. He lives in the power of an endless life.
Yes, and I'm just also looking and thinking of certain portions in the scripture. That, for example, not everyone got that title, my servant.
No.
Only very selective.
Amen.
Moses was one, my servant Moses. But I wonder also if you can see the greatness of his servanthood in the book of Isaiah. Behold, like he makes him an object for the saints of God to behold. Behold, my servant. And I'm wondering if we can enjoy what God enjoys when he beholds the servant.
To us, a servant is someone of low estate, low degree. But in that verse, he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. There's someone with authority who is given all authority. All judgment has been given to the Son.
And it is in that day. There is a day that was appointed. We're looking forward to it, but I dare to say, even God is looking forward to it. It's in that day. God is anticipating that day. When Zerubbabel, the water of gold, that's what the meaning of his name is. Gold, the divine person, the Son of God. But you know what? My servant. And it is, I think it was Eliezer who spoke about himself as a servant of Abraham. My master spoke about my, what an honor to have Abraham as your master. And here is one who God is honored, if I could say that, to call him my servant. There was no one on this earth in adverse circumstances that honored God and did his will. No one, you name them all, no one like the blessed person of the Lord Jesus. And God wanted to display his servant. Who lived here on this earth? Every action, every word was for the honor of God as a true servant. Read the Gospel of Mark. It's the smallest of them. Read the Gospel of Mark. And you see, if one wanted to learn how to serve, read the Gospel of Mark. And when you get tired of it, read it again and read it again. Because that's how you learn how to be a servant. Because here is straight away, 42 times I think it's mentioned there, straight away, it was the appointed time where he could go and do God's bidding. That is the perfect servant. That day, he will be sitting on the throne, still doing the bidding of God, administrating the whole world for the pleasure and the delight of God. But he also is the son of Shealtiel. Ask of God. He's the desire of all nations. The ask of God. And here it is. And ask of me, and I will give thee the kingdom of the earth and the nation to be your inheritance. Here he is in that day. A glorious day will come. It's 1,000 years, but it's a day where the divine person, the perfect man, the Son of God, the desire of all nations, will come and sit on that throne for the delight of the heart of God.